Genesis 11 on Through the Word and the introduction of two great kingdoms. The Bible is a book of two kingdoms and a tale of two cities. The two kingdoms are the kingdom of man and the kingdom of God. And the two cities are their respective capitals, Babylon and Jerusalem. Their story will track from Genesis to Revelation, and though it is subtle, both kingdoms are introduced right here. Genesis 11 is the backstory for these two, as God and man each take the first steps to building their kingdoms right here. Man's building project starts with bricks in verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words, and as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Pause there a moment. Before man starts building with those bricks, we need to back up a second. The land they were in was called Shinar, which is another name for Babylon. Back in chapter 10, we saw a mighty man named Nimrod, grandson of Ham, who built up man's very first kingdom, and the first center of his kingdom was Babylon. This is big. The name Babylon will be used throughout the Bible to represent the kingdoms of mankind. Babylon is also the birthplace of false religion. Nimrod, whose name means rebel, married Semiramis, who became known as the Queen of Heaven. Their son Tammuz was supposedly a miracle baby, and both mother and son were worshipped as gods. Babylon was also the birthplace of commercialism, the world system of money and greed, which is the root of all kinds of evil. So that's Babylon, man's first kingdom, and the start of both false religion and commercialism. Okay, now that you have the background, let's get back to the city of Babel in verse 4. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." So the folks in Babylon want to build a tower to heaven. Babel means gateway to God, and that is exactly what they wanted, to build their way up to God. Archaeologists find structures of this kind all over the ancient world. In Babylon, they were called ziggurats, a tall sloping tower with a staircase circling the outside. This tower is a perfect picture of what religion is all about and why it doesn't work. To this day, religion is always about man building his own stairway to heaven. Somewhere in downtown Babel, there's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and, well, she's buying a ziggurat. Look at the words of the men in Babel. "Let us build ourselves a city and a tower. Let us make a name for ourselves." This was all about man's ego and man's pride. Glory to man in the highest. So the Lord came down to see the tower, and he knew the danger. Then in verse 7, God said, "Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. So why was God so concerned? Man is a schemer, and man's ability unhindered opened the door for too much evil. Look throughout history and see. Technology is too often used for oppression, war, and materialism. I am not anti-technology. It does a lot of good, but I do recognize its danger. God did too, and so he frustrated the plans of men. Then in verse 9, "Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth." So the languages were confused and the people dispersed. Babel had meant gateway to God. Now it just means confusion, because man cannot build up to God by his own work. However, the false religion of Nimrod lived on. Only Semiramis and Tammuz changed names to Isis and Osiris in Egypt, to Aphrodite and Adonis, or Venus and Cupid, or Ashtoreth and Baal. The stories vary, but all of them are Satan's counterfeit to Jesus' story. This is why Revelation calls Babylon the mother of all harlots. Then in verse 10, the story takes a sudden turn. Read with me. "These are the generations of Shem. When Shem was 100 years old, he fathered Arphaxad, 2 years after the flood." How about we speed this up? Verse 11. "And Shem lived after he fathered Arphaxad 500 years and had other sons and daughters. When Arphaxad had lived 35 years, he fathered Shelah. And Arphaxad lived after he fathered Shelah 403 years and had other sons and daughters. When Shelah had lived 30 years, he fathered Eber. And Shelah lived after he fathered Eber 403 years and had other sons and daughters. When Eber lived 34 years, he fathered Peleg. And Eber lived after he fathered Peleg 430 years and had other sons and daughters. When Peleg had lived 30 years, he fathered Reu. Peleg lived after he fathered Reu 209 years and had other sons and daughters. When Reu had lived 32 years, he fathered Serug. And Reu lived after he fathered Serug 207 years and had other sons and daughters. When Serug had lived 30 years, he fathered Nahor. Serug lived after he fathered Nahor 200 years and had other sons and daughters. When Nahor lived 29 years, he fathered Terah. And Nahor lived after he fathered Terah 119 years and had other sons.
from the doctor.
When Terad lived 70 years, he fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Look, all scripture is important, but some passages can be read faster than others. So verses 10 to 27 are a long genealogy. But why here? It is a very specific family line from Noah's son Shem directly to one man, Abram. A couple of notes along the way, Shem's people are called Semitic, which is why people who hate Jews are called anti-Semitic, though any Christian who hates Jews is an oxymoron, emphasis on the last part. Also, the name Eber in verse 14 is where Jews get the name Hebrew. But the real reason that this genealogy is placed here after Babel is that God is starting to build his kingdom, not with bricks, but with one man. The story is not dramatic, not yet. It is simply a bunch of names, of people, because the kingdom of God is about people. Peter says that we are living stones fitted together in God's temple, in God's kingdom. As we journey through the Bible, I want to help you see how the small stuff fits into the big picture. This one is huge. The Bible is indeed a tale of two kingdoms. The kingdoms that begin here in Genesis 11 form a contrast that will carry throughout Scripture. Contrast Babylon with Jerusalem, idolatry with true worship, an empty religion with a real covenant between God and man. So watch for the two kingdoms throughout the Bible, and most pointedly in Daniel and Revelation. And remember that Jesus' consistent message was this: the kingdom of God is at hand. Also watch through the Bible for this picture of a stairway to heaven, from Jacob's vision of a ladder to heaven, to Jesus' promise to Nathanael in John 1. Jesus Christ is the one and only stairway to heaven. As for this gateway to God, Jesus said quite plainly, "I am the gate." Read Genesis 11 today, and as you do, take note of one more thing. Chapter 11 closes with a road trip. Abram and his family hit the road in verse 31. "And they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan." It is fitting that the kingdom of God should start out this way, with a journey. Abram is the first of God's faithful wanderers. Most of our Bible heroes were pilgrims in this life. Where Babel's men tried to gather in one place and build to the sky to make their own name great, Abram hit the road, following after the great name of God. The kingdom of God is found on the road, not in the tower. Jesus said, "Follow me," not "build for me." And when we do build, we're called to build people and not monuments. So what about you? What kingdom will you choose? Will you build your own kingdom, your tower to heaven? Or will you choose the journey over the tower and the call of God over the pride of man?
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.